We're talking about Love Is. Do y'all remember those little things that used to be in the newspaper? The little Love Is things that was like Love Is Sweet, and it was like the man and the girl, and boy and girl, man and girl sound weird. The boy and the girl was in there showing love is patient, love is making coffee early in the morning. Do y'all remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah? Man. And we're talking about Love Is, so we're going to get into that, what love is, what that looks like, what that perfect love looks like, what real love looks like. Let's look at 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Man, let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for being the example of what real love is, for being the truth, Lord God, for being a loving God who loved us despite of everything that we've done, despite our sins, Lord God. You love us anyway. And so we thank you for that, and we give you honor and glory for being a mighty God and a healing God and just a Savior, Lord God. And we thank you for everything that you've done for us, for letting us be here today, for waking us up, for all the things that you do when you guide us throughout the day. We thank you and we praise you and we give you all the honor and the glory. Lord God, I ask that your will be done today. I ask that someone is blessed by your word. I ask that when they leave this place, they leave with a heart full of love and grace and mercy, and they understand that you are the definition of love. Father God, I thank you and I praise you, and we give you all the honor and glory. In your son Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Man, God is so good. Oh, if God is good, has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? Man, to understand that we have a God that loves us despite of everything that we've done, despite our sins, despite our lies, our cheating, whatever we've done, God loves us anyway. And it doesn't get any better than knowing that not only does the Bible tell us that God loves us, but they give us examples. They show us that God loves us. Man, the Bible says, dear children, let us not merely say that we love each other. Standard isn't enough. It's not. Let us show the truth by our actions. I'll never forget growing up, the best relationship advice I ever got from my mom, and she would always say, love is an action word. Love is an action word. Love is an action word. I mean, I heard it so much that by the time I got older, I was just like, Ma, please stop. Stop saying that. I get it. Love is an action word. You love me. You show me you love me. Thank you for dinner. Like, you get tired of hearing it. But it was so important that she said that, because when I got older and I was, you know, trying to date and I met my husband, I knew he loved me before he could even say it, because he showed me that he loved me. And I was able to recognize that and expect that because my mom always drilled it in my ear. Love is an action word. She'd say, if they tell you they love you, that's one thing. If they show you, that's real. And I was able to identify that because my husband showed me that. It's so funny, when he finally did say, like, I love you, me being me was like, I already knew that. Like, you, I knew that a month ago, but thanks for telling me, you know. But I already knew, but thanks, boo. But I already knew what that looked like. I already knew that he loved me because he showed me he loved me day in and day out. And the greatest example we have in knowing what that looks like is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that you all, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. Is that not the greatest love story of all time? Right? I used to think the greatest love story was The Notebook. And it's a solid number two, right? Solid number two, if you disagree at me. I'm willing to have an argument with you. It's a solid number two. But the greatest love story is Christ dying for us. Man, that's such a powerful thing to know, that God loved you so much that he would sacrifice his son for you. Wow. God, thank you so much for that. The funniest thing is, my mom would always, if I brought a guy home that I thought I was liking, or that they thought they was liking me, before they could even get in the door, before she even asked their name, what's John 3:16? I'm like, Ma, jeez, let the brother get in the house. Can you at least know his name? Nah, she ain't want to know that. I don't care what your name is, because if you don't know John 3:16, it don't matter. Right? She set that standard so early, it was no games. And once she came in with that, if they ain't have it, bye. You know what I mean? It's like, my mom wasn't having it. So I challenge you parents, when big heads show up at your daughter's door, what's John 3:16? What's John 3:16? I love that she did that now that I'm, you know, older and I married my husband, because it made sure, and he knew it. And it made sure that, one, couldn't nobody just come around and date me? Nobody, you not, if you don't know John 3:16, you don't know the love of God. So if you don't know the love of God, if you've never experienced that love, then how can you show me that love? Right? So that told me something real clear. You don't know God, you don't love God, you can't love me. So keep it moving. Keep it, you got to go, right? But I challenge you parents, set that standard early. Set it early for your sons too. When Cutie with the long braids show up, she better know John 3:16 or she can't date your son. Right? See, all the moms who got sons like, yes! But seriously, like, we have to understand. So that's my first point. Love is an action. Love is an action. And we've heard that so many times, so over and over again, that love is an action. But it's important for us to understand that, because people can say they love you all day. It's like word vomit. It's like, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. No, don't tell me you love me. Show me. God, show me. And if God can show me, you got to level up. You got to show me something, right? Hey, if you don't want them to show you that they love you, that's fine. But you got to show me, right? We have to expect that. Man, love is an action. So what does that look like? We know that it's a huge grand gesture when Christ died for us. And when we think about our relationships, we think grand gestures. Oh, he proposed to me. That's like a big, woo, yay, you know, everybody, it's like a big thing. But we forget about the little everyday, the million everyday little things where we have the responsibility to show what love looks like. I love what 1 Corinthians does. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. It shows us what that love is supposed to look like on a daily basis. Love is patient. How many husbands go shopping with their wife? Tyrell will go in the store looking for a seat. Like, that's his first thing. He don't care where we are. It's like, where I'm going to sit down, because we're going to be here for a minute. Like, that's step one. But I love that he does that, and I couldn't understand for life for me where he got that from. Until one day, we're in the mall, it's me, Tyrell, and his parents. And me and his mom going to White House Black Market, and his dad walks behind his mom, scours the room, finds a seat. And Tyrell follows right behind him, does the exact same thing. And so I'm like, okay, I see where he gets that from. But what that told me is that, how important is it for our young men to have a father in the home? Right? It's so important, because they need an example on how to be patient, how to love their wife. We want our daughters, our young girls, to have a husband who can be patient, who knows how to love, who knows how to love on them. So, fathers, I challenge you. You're the example in your home. How you treat your wife is going to be the example of how your son treats his. You have to be the example. And the same goes for if you have a daughter in your home. You're the example of what she's going to expect from her husband. So y'all better step it up. Because when they show up with a boy at their door and y'all ain't getting them with John 3:16, they not ready. They need to know what that looks like. So I challenge you, be the example in your home. It makes a huge, huge difference. So love is patient. Love is not jealous or boastful. It's not proud. My favorite one is it's not rude. Church folks can be rude. Woo, my goodness. I was at church folk. One day, I'm driving. I'm late for work, flooring it. I mean, pedal to the metal. And I'm like, it's a lady like in front of me, and she's just minding her business, sightseeing, driving down the road, and she's slowing down my day. So I'm like speeding, revving up, honking the horn, like, lady. And then you know when you get next to them and you like stare at them like, oh my goodness, I did that. And the lady was terrified, terrified. She probably didn't even realize that I was running late. Like, she didn't know. My mom would always say, your poor planning is not my emergency. And so my poor planning was not this lady's emergency, so she minded her business. And I give her that mean look, like, ugh. The minute I get past her, God hit me like, now how you gonna witness to her? I was like, oof. Ooh, that's a gut punch. That's a tough one. So many times we can be rude. We be looking at funny when people come to the church. If they're not dressed the way we think they should be dressed, we looking real funny. If they smell funny, we looking at them funny. What type of environment are we creating for people to come in and hear God? We can't be rude to people when they're coming in to hear the word. You can't be rude to people at your job, because how are you going to witness to them when you got an attitude all the time? We're the example in our everyday actions. Man, stop being rude, y'all. You can't do it. It does not demand its own way. How many of y'all want it? My way or the highway? My way or the highway? I was about to move to Texas. I was demanding my own way. I wasn't thinking about the youth. I wasn't thinking about what God called Tyrell and I to do on Wednesday nights. I wasn't. It was my way or the highway. I was demanding, this is what we're doing. And you know how you get so stuck in your own idea that you're like, yeah, that was God. No, it probably was not. It was not. That was you. And that, when you check the weather and it says 72 and sunny, like, that was me. I was demanding my own way. I was out. But that's not love. We in your marriage. Oh, you gonna cook this dinner. This is how I want things to be done around here. That's not love. It doesn't demand its own way. Dad, like, oh, nah. It is not irritable. Parents, I just got off work. I'm tired. I ain't trying to hear what you got to say. I'm tired. Ooh, I saw some faces like, ooh, that's me. You can't be irritable to your kids when they're trying to tell you what's going on. Because when you get a call from the principal and they're in the office and you like, why you ain't tell me? Ma, Dad, I tried. You was irritable. You weren't hearing me. You was tired. We have to be conscious about how we're opening ourselves up to hear from our young people. If you got an attitude all the time, and don't get me wrong, we know you worked hard. Y'all be working. I get it. But those are your investments. That's our future. And if you're not hearing what they have to say, how can you help build them? How can you be a difference in their life? How are you making sure that they know what they need going forward? How to deal with a situation at school? That's our responsibility. That's love. Listening to them, being there for them. Man, and these are the million everyday things that we can do to show love. Man, it keeps no record of being wronged. Who struggled with forgiveness? Who gonna be honest about struggling with forgiveness? We gonna work on y'all. Man, we gotta forgive. Imagine if God didn't forgive you. What would that look like? How many times you lied last week? How many times did you lie last week? The lying, the cheating, everything that you've done, we got past, we all sin and fall short. But that grace, that forgiveness, we have to share that. We have to be able to forgive others just as Christ forgave us. Right? Like Pastor said, I'm preaching better than y'all, amen. And I'm gonna be forgiven around here, and y'all can hold on to that if y'all want to, but it's a weight. Being angry is heavy. Right? Who wants to carry that burden of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness? Because when you walk in that unforgiveness, how can you do what God has called you to do? Man, y'all better forgive somebody up in here. It's people who need that. Pastor talked about it one message where he said, you know, we have to be patient with our patience. The people that we come in contact, the people that God send us to connect with, those are our patients. And when they wrong you, and when they do something wrong to you, or they hurt you, or they lie to you, as the examples of what love is, we have to forgive them. It's not meant to be easy. Nothing about forgiveness is easy. I'm not even going to act like it is. You think down on the cross was easy? I don't want nobody piercing me in the side. I don't want to be whipped. I don't want none of that. But Christ did that for us. He did that so that we could have life, so that we can be forgiven for our sins, for all the wrong that we've done. Christ did that for us. Man, these everyday things, these are things that we can do in our everyday life to be the example, to show what love is, right? Y'all with me or y'all asleep? Amen. Amen? Amen, all right. It does not rejoice about injustice, but whenever the truth wins out. That's like, I told you so. No. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Wow. That's what love is. We have to stop giving up on our kids so easy. We have to. Oh, they got an F. Oh, they just keep getting these bad grades. Oh, I'm just done with them. I don't know what to do. Somebody take them. Somebody, oh, I just can't. Why are we giving up our kids so fast? Why are we giving up on the future? Right? Why are we giving up on them? Stop giving up on your spouse so fast. Stop giving up on your marriage. Man, I remember when me and Tyrell first got married. Y'all, that junk was not easy. It was not. I'm telling you, you got two individual people trying to build one life. What's easy about that? How many married folks we got here? If you're married, you know what I'm talking about. It's not easy. It's tough. We trying to figure out who gonna do what, who gonna cook, who gonna. Dad talking about some submit, Marsha. Let me finish. Man. We trying to figure out two lives to come one. Sharing money, sharing food. You want me, like, we got to cook together. We trying to figure this stuff out. Well, it got to the point where I'm like, I ain't going to church. I just can't. I ain't going to fake the funk. If you know I'm in a mad mood, you going to know. Don't ask people, oh, how's newlyweds? Nah, don't say nothing to me. I ain't got nothing for you. Don't do it. Right? Am I by myself? What? Don't say nothing to me. Man, was rough. So we're trying to figure it out, and I love my husband, and this is why it's so important to marry you, a man of God, let me tell you. Because when it was at the point where I'm like, nah, don't say nothing to me. I ain't got nothing for you, bruh. Don't do it. I wasn't going to church. I wasn't showing up. And he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, babe, every time we don't go to church, we take 3 steps back. And that stuck with me. It would have been so easy just to give up. It would have been so easy to be like, you know, we tried this. Bye. It was fun. We had a fun party. You know, no. But love endures through every circumstance. We have to stop giving up so fast on our marriages. We have to stop giving up on our kids, our family members. Who got that family member where you like, don't, if they call you, you let it ring so they don't get to ignore, but you, so they don't think you ignoring them? Yeah, I ain't the only one. How quick are we to give up on folks? God didn't give up on y'all. He didn't give up on me. Because I was a trip. When I was younger, my mom would say I was mean as a junkyard dog. I know that's hard to believe now. I know. But that's God's grace and mercy. That's that forgiveness. That's when God takes hold of your life and starts to change you. Start to put some love on the inside of you. Put some joy in your heart. Man, God will change all of that. He will change the circumstance in your marriage. He will change that. If you don't put God in the center of your marriage, yeah, things are going to be hard. It's going to be real easy to say, I'm done. Put God in the center of your marriage. Put God in your home. Put God in front of your kids. Put God in front of your family member, that cousin that you don't really want to talk to, that sister or brother that you don't want to talk to. Put God there. And be the example of what love is. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be the example. Man, God, you are so good. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for being that loving God, that example to me. Man, we have to do those little things every day to show our truth in actions. Not just say we love you, but show it. Man. 1 John 4:9-10. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. This is what Mary J. Blige is looking for. Real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to sacrifice and to take away our sins. What I love about that whole passage is that not one part of that scripture talks about what God got out of dying for us, what Christ got out of dying for us. Nowhere in there does it say what the benefit, Christ, if you do this, you'll get that. Christ, just do it, and I promise, like, something good will come for you. No. That's my second point, that your actions within love are for the other person. When you're showing love, it's not about you. It's not. When Christ died for us, it was for us. I couldn't imagine if God told, this is how I process it. He said, all right, Jesus, I need you to go down to earth, ride this donkey in the heat, go save some folks. Do some miracles, like, I know, that's going to be tough, like, that's a lot, you're going to have to heal some people. If my mom would tell me that, I would have been like, Ma, you want me to touch people that's sick? Like, I'm not hospital ministry. Anybody that can do that, that is a gift. God bless you. Go pray over people that's not my gift. You want me to go touch people with leprosy? You, what? That's a no for me, dog. I'm not. But because Christ loved us, he came down and did that for us. He healed the sick, right? Y'all ain't never been sick then, because that's something that takes a lot. When you're showing love, it's not about you. You have to, that being patient, that not giving up, that's an example that you have to show for the other person. I was at a conference, and one of the guys said, and I love this, he said, love is to will and to act to the highest good of the other person. Does that make sense? Are y'all with me? Y'all ain't with me. I'm going to say it again. Love is to will and to act to the highest good, not the minimum standard, not what's easy and convenient, not what's comfortable for you, not what's light, not the easy stuff, but to the highest good of the other person. Not to you, but the other person. It's not about you. Newsflash. I'll never forget. This is marriage, y'all. So Tyrell loves college basketball. I don't. In case you was wondering, it's not my thing. I can't. Well, he texts me one day. He's like, hey, babe, I'm thinking about going to B-Dubs and watching this college game. Like, it's a big one and eating some wings. And it's going to be fun, whatever. And I'm looking like, oh, that sounds great, honey. In my head, I'm thinking like, he going to ask one of his guys. They're going to do a guy's night. I can stay in the house, watch Netflix, mind my business. It's going to be a good time. And I'm like, oh, cool, babe. You text one of your guys. You text Marlon, Tim, anybody? He was like, no, I didn't do that. I was like, okay. Are you going to? You know, he was, no, babe, I was thinking you come. And, you know, I just wanted to spend some time with you. That's the kicker right there. I just wanted to spend some time with you. And I'm like, ooh. So I get to B-Dubs. I'm sitting there, y'all. It's like watching like paint dry. I just can't. I'm sitting there, and he's turned up about it. He like, babe, did you see this? Oh, dang. Look, babe. And I'm trying to peel one eye open. Look, it's like 9:00. I'm tired. Oh, my goodness. But it wasn't for me. This is something that he enjoyed doing, and he wanted to share it with me. He wanted to spend time with me, so I was sitting there. I'm going to be there. We have to sometimes get outside of ourselves, do what we don't want to do to show love to the other person, to be there for the other person, for your spouse, for your kids. How many of y'all go to y'all kids' sporting events and they getting beat by 30? That is not a good game to watch. It's not. It's just not a good time. But you be there for the other person, showing that love, that action of being there for the other person, getting outside of yourself. Man, it ain't easy. It's not. But we do what we got to do because we love what we love. You know. So I want to challenge some of y'all. Who like a challenge? Couple people. Better question. Who care about the youth? Y'all dry. Who really care about the youth? If you really care, let me get two hands. Two hands? Okay. These are people that really, really care. I want all the young people to look around, see the people who raise their hand that care about you. They care about you. So all of y'all with y'all hands up, here come the challenge. Invest, get involved in the life of a young person. And get involved in the life of one of these young kids so that when they grow up, they'll be able to do the same for somebody else. And do the same for somebody else. Because I wouldn't be here today had someone not done that for me. Had so many people in this congregation that care for me and invested in me. Who loved me enough to take some time out of their day, money out of their pocket, and be there for me. I challenge you. Get involved in the life of one of these young kids. And do it with love in your heart. No, it's not going to be easy. No, it's not going to be convenient. But I guarantee you it'll be worth it. I guarantee you it'll be so worth it. So that when you don't have to worry about them throwing a rock through your window, TP in your house, like, do it now. They might still TP your house. But when they do, they might apologize after. Like, at least they have some manners. Invest in the life of one of these young people. If you have both of your hands up, invest in two. Invest in two kids. You said you really, really care, don't you? It's so many ways that you can get involved. I'm not going to just tell you to get involved and not give you some ways to do it. I wouldn't do that to you guys. I love you too much. Wednesdays, come help out. Wednesday night, 6:30, come help out. It's a bunch of kids in there who could use a hug, who could use the love, a stern talking to sometimes. There are ways that you can get involved. We need bus drivers to come pick the kids up and bring them here. You can do that. You can drop your kid off. Some people don't even want to drop their own kids off. Drop your kids off. Invest in them. Get them somewhere, get them in a place where they can be blessed and loved on. You all saw them kids up here giving worship from starting at 2? This is where their spiritual walk starts. This is where their spiritual life starts. Drop your kid off for Sunday school. Drop your kid off for choir rehearsal. Or are you not willing to invest in your own kids? Yeah, I went there. But I mean it. Invest in the life of your children. Raise them up to make sure that they know that there are people who love them, who care about them, and who are willing to invest in them. Because if you don't, I can assure you, someone with bad intentions will. Am I wrong? If you don't, that drug dealer down the street is real happy to say, I'll pick you up. Come roll with me. Now that's their example. Is that who you want to be your kid's example? No, I didn't think so. Oh, some of y'all do. Okay, cool. No. Is that the example you want? We have to invest in the lives of our kids. Man, I appreciate everybody who invested in me. I thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Whew, y'all got me excited. Oh, man. Thank you, Lord. We talked a lot about how your action with the love is for the other person. But there are some people who will use love against you. Right? There are people who will say, I love you with bad intentions. There are people who will show love to you in the worst possible way. Romans 13 and 10 says, love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Love does no wrong to the other person. Man, if I beat you because I love you, that's not love. That's not it. That is not it. That's not what it looks like. Love does no wrong. No wrong to others. If you love me, you'll give it up. That's not it. That's not that real love. You ain't got to clap. Somebody's telling your kid that. So you better understand. This is what these young kids are hearing. That's not love. Love does no wrong. Love acts to the highest good of the other person. Real love won't take you out of alignment with God. It will not. It will not take you out of alignment with God. It will keep you so focused on God. Real love, that patience, that kind love that cares about you, that's acting to the highest good of you, will keep you aligned with God. It will focus you. It will center you. That's what I love about my husband. He's like, he's not feeling good, but he was like, babe, focus on what you got to do tomorrow. Had he been selfish, he'd be like, no, take care of me. No. He wanted me to focus on being here for you. Real love won't take you out of what God has called you to do. It will not. I've heard kids say, if you love me, you'll give it up. And I'm going to be real frank with you. Sex is not going to guarantee you love. It will not. It will not. And just because you're in love doesn't mean you owe that other person sex. That's not real love. Do you understand what I'm telling you? All right, I just want to make sure. God's law was created for us out of love. So if someone is trying to get you to sin and disobey God's commandments, that's not love. How many of us got that friend that's like, oh, no, just do this, you'll be good. You don't really got to go to church tomorrow, you'll be fine, don't worry about it. Do this for the gram. No, you good. Do it. No, you're fine. That's not love. Some of y'all grown folks got friends that be like, oh, come out and drink with me. Grown folks are still doing it. That's not love. And when God has called you to be set apart, the person next to you may not get it. But if you're called to be set apart, you better set yourself apart and walk in what God has called you to do. Because if you don't, the rocks will cry out for him. These kids will come out and do it. He's going to use somebody to do what his will needs to be. And you're going to miss your blessing. You will miss what God has for you. Man, woo, God, thank you, Father God. Thank you. Man, God is good. Hallelujah. We have to make sure we're showing love and being mindful what that love looks like. Don't be that person that's encouraging somebody to come out of alignment with God. Because that could be us. We got to keep that in mind. Knowing that we have a responsibility to love one another is a privilege. One, knowing that God loved us enough to send his son to die for us. And when we receive that love, it comes with the responsibility. Right? Romans 13 and 8. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. It is our obligation to love. You don't owe anybody anything else. You don't owe anybody your friendship. You don't owe anybody some false sense of loyalty. You don't know. All you owe them is love. That is our obligation to love. Man, thank you, God. We have to realize that what Christ did for us is a privilege. And we have the responsibility to take that privilege, to take that love, to take that grace, that mercy, that forgiveness, that everything that he's done for us, and to share that with someone else. It is our obligation, not your choice. Like, you don't get to choose, like, oh, I'm not going, no, not today. No, it is your obligation. This is what you are called to do, and that is to love others. If you don't do nothing else today, love somebody. Love on the person next to you. Call that person, that sister, that brother, that cousin that you've been avoiding. Call them and love on them because that is your obligation. If Christ was willing to die for you, you can call somebody up and tell them you love them. You can reach somebody. You can love on a kid. You can invest in the life of a kid. Love on them. That's your obligation. It's almost like it's the least you can do. Right? Y'all with me still? All right, good. Just checking. Y'all gonna love on somebody today? Amen. Good. I'm happy to hear that. Because while you're loving on somebody, man, it's important to understand that you're worthy of that love. Each and every one of you, you're worthy of the love. I don't know where Ken went. Ken, this is your cue. Whenever we find Ken, there he is. Ken, I love you. Give it up for Ken. Love Ken. That's awesome. You are worthy of love. God felt that you deserved the life of his son. He thought you deserved that sacrifice. Man, that's my last point. You're worthy of it. Romans 5 and 8 said, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were still living in our shame, while we were still doing wrong, while we were still lying, while we were still cheating, while we were still stealing, whatever it is that we were doing, that's when Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get it right. He didn't wait for you to be on your Sunday's best. He didn't wait for you to have that new outfit and that new car to show up to church. He didn't wait for you to be honest, to stop cheating, to stop lying, to stop stealing, to stop being jealous, to stop being boastful, stop doing all these things that we're not supposed to be doing. He didn't wait for that. He thought you deserved his son to die no matter what. That no matter what you've done, He thought you were worthy of that love. Man, I love that the Bible says that, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. The beauty of salvation is that there's nothing you can do about it. You can't talk yourself out of God's love. You can't lie your way out of God's love. That no matter what, He loved you anyway. Wow, thank you, God.